Launching from an Etherport at RBN, cruising at light speed, here's your host, Steve Starrs.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Light Speed Times 2. I am your host. Always a privilege, always a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to be with you on RBN here. And today is President's Day, as you know. And our president, well, not mine, maybe yours, probably not yours, has gone all the way over to Ukraine to embellish Zelensky and his phony coup d'etat government with more encouraging words to send their people out to fight the Russians and to create another war that is absolutely useless, should have been avoided. As you know, it's something that is a horrific threat, really, that doesn't need to be there. The Ukrainians, a good number of the Ukrainians, don't even see the sense in it. That was a long time back, you know, when the ladies were burning draft cards back in the days of the Crimean upset and the color revolution, you know, the Maidan situation, 2015, 16, in that era. So now, this is the way he honors his office of the presidency, friends. Okay, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I know a lot of you are off today on President's Day, and we're going to be taking some calls, of course, and that's okay. Want to do that. But before we do, let's get into this just for a moment. All right, if you actually heard the interview with Dr. Francis Boyle, or you listened to him quite a bit, you know that it only takes one member of the Republican Party to take the floor and call for the beginning of an impeachment hearing. That doesn't mean an impeachment is going to take place. The whole Senate has to vote by a majority, and Republicans do have a majority. They can pass that. Then the Senate has to look at it, and it has to pass by 66 votes, as I recall. Maybe I'm incorrect. But it's not easy to impeach a president. Yet, I have called my congressman and, my congresswoman, actually. I actually don't have a congressman anymore, as it is in Colorado. What happened was we picked up another congressional representative. I think Ohio lost one, and we got them because of the growth of population and the shift out here. So the former congressman that I had was Ken Buck. I am not a fan of Ken Buck. I've supported him in some cases. He is a GOP person. He's a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He's also on the Judicial Committee, but he has failed completely. And I called him in his office, and obviously no one is there today, to tell him that you need to begin the impeachment hearings right away. If you listened to me on the show, I said I would give the Republicans until Groundhog Day to start an impeachment on Joe Biden. Okay, and I said, if they've started, I'll give them to Valentine's Day to keep going and progressing with it, even if they've just initiated it. And now they have passed both deadlines, which I said, I will now kick your ass for doing this. And I'm going to continue to stay after these Republicans continually until they do what they need to be doing right now. Not putting it off, not waiting it out, not letting Kevin McCarthy decide, none of this. Get on the job now before we start a world war over there with this idiot imbecile. Okay. So, I'm just reminding you that you can make a difference. Now, let me kind of explain some things. Going back, gosh, I guess it was around 2007, 6 or 7, when I first came up with this concept and idea, I had a website called Right to Redress, and it was WRITE, Right to Redress. And the idea was to set it up and allow people to join this make a contribution of about $10 or whatever. And they would be able to send faxes from our website to Republican or Democrat House representatives, senators, anybody who's in, I think, a federal office. I don't know how many that includes. But you as a citizen can call Nancy Pelosi. You can call any of these offices. You can call them, you can write them, and you can fax them. But if you email them, they will not deliver that email unless it's in their district, okay? Their precinct, their area of where they are. If they're a state, you know, if you live in California, you can email them. You can email Nancy Pelosi. If you live in another state, you can't email her, but you can call and you can fax, because every member of the federal government in this position, House reps and U.S. Senate, they have to respond to any person who is a citizen in the United States in any state. That's part of their job because they're a federal office, okay? Well, the reason why I was wanting to start this was I saw the success of Roy Beck's, it was called Members USA, was his website, Roy Beck. It was on the immigration issue. And I kind of joined it and sent some faxes off, and I saw how it worked. And this thing was working tremendously well, putting in a tremendous amount of pressure, because they had people who were sending faxes to people all over Washington. Now, you think there's a lot of big lobbies in Washington, and you're right, there are. A lot of these people are buttonholing the politicians and offering them money and trying to get their deals and things passed and all that kind of stuff. That's going on all the time. But the people in the House and people in the Senate face a much, much bigger lobby, friends. That's you and me, okay? Now, there's a couple things about this. A lot of people are cynical. I don't blame them for being somewhat cynical. Oh, it's never going to change anything. Well, I understand that you're frustrated with the system. I am, too. They're not going to listen. Well, you'd be surprised. How many times have you called a senator or a congressman and waited on a comment? Like today's President's Day, you'll probably get an answering machine. I made two calls today and was able to leave two messages to two Republican representatives in my state, okay? It's very easy. Just leave them a message. Tell them what you want. And tell them, hey, we'll get back with you. You know, if you want a response, sometimes they will respond. Most of the time they won't if you're not directly in their constituency, okay? That's a possibility there. But, you know, if you tell them you want a response and you don't get one, then you can call them back in. Hey, I called you before and you didn't respond. Now, let me give you an example that is biblical. Do you remember the story that Jesus tells of the widow and the unjust judge? I was going to get that reference and I forgot to do it. I think it might be in the book of Luke. Well, Jesus tells the story. There was an unjust judge, okay? The guy didn't care about man and he didn't fear God. You know, he just did what he wanted to do. He was a lazy slug is what he was. He wouldn't do his job. And there was a widow there who had been wronged, and she went to this judge and she said, Judge, avenge me, my adversary. And he said, I'm not going to do that because I don't fear man or God. I'm just going to go about my business. I'm too important for her to do my job. Does that sound familiar with your Congress? But this lady kept coming back day after day. Avenge me, my adversary, Judge. Next day she'd come back. Avenge me, my adversary. Avenge me, my adversary. Avenge me, my adversary. It's your job. She kept coming back. And finally, this judge said, this woman's going to wear me out. She is going to wear me out with her continual coming every day. I will finally get off my butt and do what she needs. And she got her justice. Jesus says, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God, who is merciful and speedily and listening to the prayers of his people all the day long, not avenge his elect, who he is weary to bear with and going through all this with them? Of course he will. Okay, if the unjust judge finally did it, but Jesus says, be persistent. Don't give up. Be at it. Stay with it. Don't faint. He said, you'll receive your answer if you faint not. What does it mean to faint? It means to start grumbling. It means to get negative. It means to say, oh, it's not going to work. We've got to have a revolution. Friends, you know, come on. The thing is, the American people really don't know how to use the tools of their government. This is why when I started this website, Right to Redress, I had this idea that watching Roy Beck work with the immigration issue and the success he was having. Now, speaking of 9/11, you know, which has kind of come up again, you know, just briefly, let me say this. Do you know that from the time that World War II ended and John Kennedy was shot and the Beatles came out in, I think it was February of 1964, there was less time there from all that time through the Korean War than there has been since 9/11. It's been, what, 21 and a half years now? It was only about 18 years from 1945 to 1963, in that period of time, man, a lot of time has gone by. A whole lot of time has gone by. That issue was never straightened out after all these years. And you know one of the reasons why was because we have never put enough pressure on our government to go back and do another investigation and get the truth to it. And I can tell you that I set up this website, Right to Redress, for the purpose of addressing 9/11 and a lot of other things. Now, I had some kids who told me they were going to, kids, they were young men, but I call them kids. They're kids to me. They were going to build me this website. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll fix up the back end and all that kind of stuff. And they put up a pretty good website, but it was only a front page. I said, guys, I need the ability to tap in from this website to take in donations and to get people signed up so that we can send these faxes. The workings of this website are different. We need a program that locates whoever they want to contact and automatically sends that fax, like Numbers USA is working with. That is very successful. They didn't know how to do that. Things started to come apart. I'll go into this, the whole story. I even talked to Ted Anderson at GCM, okay, right? And they were, he was even behind the idea. He saw the possibility they were advertising on InfoWars. But the problem is Alex Jones didn't quite understand what was going on. I like Alex, but he has a blind spot as to how we really need to work with these things. Friends, we need to use the tools. I mean, here's the idea that a lot of people have, especially among us. The idea is that, look, if you talk to people, they'll get angry. And when they get angry, they'll talk to somebody else. And when they'll talk to three or four other people, and we'll all get pissed off together. That's what's happened. Everybody's upset, but nobody knows what to do. See, we're not using the tools because we don't know how. I'll give you an example of how that tool worked and why it can work. Okay. You may remember when The View, remember that television show The View had Rosie O'Donnell, and she was going to have Stephen Jones talk about World Trade Center 7. Now, Rosie is a buffoon, obviously. But sometimes these people come up with something, and she thought she had an idea. Like, I mean, she was going to catch up with George W. Bush on something very big, right? I mean, even Dan Rather tried and couldn't do it. But Rosie, yeah, she's going to, yeah, she thinks. So she invited Stephen Jones to talk about World Trade Center 7 on The View. Now, this is a live ABC program. Okay, this isn't something that the network can censor because it's, you know, Baba Walters and all these other people were basically doing it all live and their producers. And she was going to have Stephen Jones talk about World Trade Center 7, which would have been very revealing with all those ladies talking about what they saw on The View. Okay, well, she got all set to do it. And all of a sudden, the show was preempted. There was an announcement from the Rose Garden, and George W. Bush was there, and he was talking about his immigration bill that he wanted to get signed, and he said, we're going to get that all signed, and it'll be on my desk next Monday to get it through, and we're going to make this thing. I mean, he had to interrupt the show to do this. Okay, why was he doing it? He was covering what she was about to say. He got in there, and they found out about this, and Bush got on there. He's going to try to make it a twofer. He was going to try to get that immigration bill passed while he was blocking Rosie O'Donnell from talking about World Trade Center 7. That's what happened. Shortly thereafter, if you know the story, Rosie O'Donnell got, she left The View. Her contract wasn't renewed. She was apparently terrorized because things happened, and it wasn't very long after that that she sort of drifted away completely from anything political. I'm telling you, they scared that woman right away. Well, that did have one positive after. Well, let's put it this way. George W. Bush didn't get his bank shot on this. He got his ability to interrupt the program and stop the ladies from talking about World Trade Center 7. But when people found out he was planning to get this bill passed through so quickly, the Numbers USA people started firing in faxes, and there were congressmen changing their vote on the floor. That's how hard we hit them very quickly. My point is this. These are the tools. We know how to use this kind of stuff. I'd be tempted to try the whole thing again, but you know, I know what we're up against. You know, the only reason why I wouldn't do it, well, I can't use the domain because I think a Russian actually bought my righttoredress.com domain, believe it or not. But, you know, we could still do something like that. I mean, it's still very possible to use this kind of lobbying effect. And I was also going to post the votes of all these politicians up there on these issues so people could look at them. And that was going to take a lot of work, you know, and I was ready to do it if necessary because I thought this is the way we can change the country. We've got to keep after these people. Right now I'm calling these these representatives, I'm saying, especially the Republicans, you need to get on the job and impeach Biden right now. Now, today, 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 today. You know, I mean, there's no excuse for this. I wrote letters to Ken Buck, okay, before the election. And I said, first of all, Joe Biden has never been vetted, actually, okay, as a candidate. He has already three disqualifications. They are high crimes and misdemeanors. You know, well, the Biden, Hunter Biden laptop was going around by that time. Everybody was denying it, but there was still plenty of information out there pertaining to the spying on the Trump campaign. All of this, these were high crimes and misdemeanors. Second of all, bribery. Remember his quote at the CFR when he said, well, son of a bitch, they fired that prosecutor. You know, the one that was coming after Hunter because Biden was withholding $1 billion in aid. Okay, they fired the guy. That was bribery. Third, treason. It was treason to do the things he was doing. These were international affairs that he was misusing his office. And of course, we all know high crimes, misdemeanors, and treasons he was guilty of. Then there's number four, tailor-made for Joe Biden, Amendment 25. The man is insane, incapable, incontinent, and he's a pervert and an imbecile and an idiot and a liar. You know, I mean, the guy is not capable of being president of the United States, Amendment 25. And then we finally get around for that. What is that thing called? Oh, the election, the so-called election. I mean, some people still believe that election was legitimate. Yeah, that's how stupid people are in this country, friends. But most of you folks out there, you're smart enough. You know what's going on. You've been figuring it out. You put it together. We know what happened here. Well, I wrote this letter to Ken Buck, my Republican representative. He was actually on a committee of a number of different Republicans. And they said, well, you see, the alternative hasn't provided that slate. They need an alternative slate to bring it before the discussion about the election. And they don't have that. Come on, Ken. This guy's swallowing. You're straining at a gnat and swallowing the camel. You know what I mean? What a liar. What a fat ass, disgusting person he really is. And I'm gonna keep dragging on him all this time. And the guy, because the guy should know better. He was a DA for a while, but you can tell that, you know, he was even robbed of an election himself when he ran for Senate in the late night hours. And I looked at the returns. It's odd that the one county that changed the vote did not vote for him, and yet they voted for all the other Republican state officials. You know, something went really wrong. He wouldn't even stand up for his own silly self on that fraud election, friends. That's how bad it was, okay? So we have a lot going on with all this, and, you know, I'm saying that this is President's Day, and your president is over there doing something completely. He's not your president. Well, let's put it this way. He is the imposter president is what he is, the imposter, imbecile, senile, crack pipe smoking son relative, whatever you want to call him. I mean, he's disgusting. This is the kind of stuff that's going on because we let them, Prince. We let them. We don't know how to use the tools. We just don't know how to use the tools. Now, there is the possibility of impeachment. It can happen very quickly. Of course, the Republicans could all pass that, and the impeachment would be done just as fast as it was with the Democrats twice for no reason at all that was legitimate by the Democrats during the Trump administration. You know, they could get that done. They should get it done. It's not a political tit for tat. It's because it's right, and you need to do it. It wasn't right it was political with Trump, I believe, for the most part. Well, hell, they spent all that time. They never came up with anything and all that money. But in this case, we know we have a person who should be taken out of that office. It's up to us, the people, to change this, friends. They're not going to change it in Washington. And you need to get your number nine boots out and kick some ass. We need to call them all the time. I'll start it up. I've made three phone calls already. I'll call some more. Look, it's just an answering machine. Just leave them a message. Say, I'll get back with you, you know. And then we'll be watching what you say and what you do. Tell them that. You know what I mean? We'll come after these people, just like I'm after Ken Buck right now for the sluggard that he has been. This guy was the head of the Republican Party in Colorado. Do you wonder why Colorado's in the shambles it is right now? I blame him. You know, now he pretends to be a very gun rights a proponent and advocate, you know, but in the bottom line is when it comes to Washington politics, he's a pushover. He's a sludge. He's basically a traitor. I am more angry right now at the Republicans than I am at the Democrats. What? Yeah, I am. I'll tell you the reason why. I'm like Putin. Putin says, you can confront me and disagree with me head on, but if you betray me, I will never forgive you. And that's what they've done to us, friends. Go back to 9/11. Think about it. How long have we put up with these people? How long have they let us down? How long have they sold us short? I think it's about time for a whole new party. A whole new party. You know, well, yeah, but if you do that, then the Democrats are going to win. What's the damn difference? The Democrats have won anyway, even with things the way they are. Come on, friends. We are being held down while the Democrats rape and rob us by the Republicans. I'm fed up with them. I'm fed up with them. I'm coming after them. I'm going to be speaking about it every day. I'm going to be kicking their asses. I'm going to explain what hypocrites and BS artists they really are. They need to be held accountable. Now, yes, there are some good ones. Yes, there are some good ones. There are some really good ones. Rand Paul is standing up. He's after Fauci. He's by himself, but he's doing a pretty good job of holding his ground. I like some of the things that Ron DeSantis has done. I don't think Trump is capable of law enforcement, friends. We needed Matt Dillon, and we got Monty Hall. Let's make a deal. You know what I mean? Trump could not handle the office. I'm telling you, he was never cut out to handle law enforcement. Well, what does that have to do with the presidency? Everything. That is the oath of office. Enforce the laws and preserve the Constitution. The executive's job is to make sure the law is enforced. He is a top cop. That's what his job is. You know, all that crap that he put up with, you know, really pretty imbecilic, I think. So, you know, there are a lot of things that are going on like that, and we can change them. And that's why I would say, I strongly encourage you to believe that we can win this fight. And if we stay at it, you know, just like the woman who kept after the unjust judge, we can win. But we're going to have to do it, because right now we are in a crux, and it's not going to get any better. So it's good to reminisce, think, plan, you know, be encouraged if necessary, but don't give up is the key thing. Yeah, I know, you know, we're up against a lot, mainly the line news media, which is now being identified, friends. We've been fighting this for years. How long has this network been telling you the truth when all they've done is lie? You know, friends, we're keeping RBN on, support the sponsors, make donations. Our goal is to make sure that we stay here and stay in the fight. Tell you a quick story about my dad. He was a kind of a great guy, really, in a lot of ways, a Marine officer in World War II. He was a tennis player, went to school on a tennis scholarship, and he was a guy that, you know, he played tennis pretty avidly and won quite a few games because he was a very heavy competitor. The one thing he taught me was never give up when you got a chance. And my dad would come back after being down points, and you know, I'd play him pool, you know, I'd have him down an eight ball to one ball left up there, and he came back and beat me or I'd scratch and stuff like that, and I'd almost start crying. He'd be laughing, you know what I mean, because he'd say, listen, I'm just trying to show you one thing, never give up. Keep fighting as long as you've got a chance. Now, my dad wasn't so irrational that when he knew it was over, he could deal with it, you know, and he would just take it like a man, and he would say, well, next time we'll do better. But at the same time, he was a very, very determined competitor. And that's what made him a champion at tennis and so many other things, golf and a lot of other things that he played. He wasn't a great golfer, but he'd stay in the game, and he would never let the numbers affect him when he was down. He would, until he was over. It was not over for him. He came back and won so many times. It was amazing. But that's what we got to do. We are looking really down and out right now with this train wreck, you know, and look what happened with the dioxin they're having now because this was started by the government. The truth is, and a point that I have made to some of these Republican offices and leaders is that they think that, well, gee, you know, just because we as the Republicans pass, you know, a hearing for impeachment doesn't mean the Senate, which is controlled by the Democrats illegally, by the way, the Senate, and you need all those votes to pass this, but what is it? I think it's 66 to get it passed. But they're going to say, well, that doesn't mean the Democrats are going to throw the towel and get rid of Biden. Of course, we also have Kamala Harris. How is that going to work? You know, when Nixon was forced to resign, they went after Agnew first. Remember that? They got rid of Agnew, the vice president, and they put Gerald Ford in there. Okay. So when Nixon resigned, Gerald Ford took over. But I don't know how impeachment works, because in this case, I think that Kamala needs to be going too. And I think she's also guilty of a lot of the same problems. So she needs to be impeached as well. This needs to be a twofer. Both of them need to be taken out, which would probably put the Speaker of the House in power, Kevin McCarthy. I'm not sure how this is going to work. But the bottom line is we need to go in there and file for this and put this guy under censorship immediately and take away his stupid ability to do stupid things again, because he's going to keep doing it. I know everybody's kind of frustrated with the political situation. I get it. I am too. But we have a chance and we still have power. Don't let any man steal your crown, is what Jesus said to the Church of Philadelphia. What's happening here? We're losing our crown. We're losing our country. We've been losing it for years. It's gotten so bad. You know, what I was coming around to was saying this. Okay, so if you bring this, right, you bring this back to the House, and the House passes it, and it goes to the Senate, yeah, the Democrats are going to start to throw a fuss, but you just keep throwing up the crap in their face of what this man has done and everything in their party, and they're going to start to clear their throats and going to go, well, you know, maybe it is time to kind of retire old Joe. You know what I mean? I'm saying, you know, you stay after it. Just keep throwing the trash and the crap and the slime. Dig it. Keep digging it up and saying these are acts of treason. You know, there are people who were with Twitter who may be facing charges, federal election violations, charges of election meddling because of what they did. There are people who could be in serious, serious trouble. They'll suddenly get honest if they find out they may be in trouble. We have to press it. We have to press it. We have to say we want to be avenged. So getting back to my website, you know, I tried to make it happen. I sold some subscriptions, but I realized I wasn't going to be able to get that system working the way I wanted it to because I didn't have the guts of the operation available. I had the website. And I called back a few people, and I sent back some refunds, and most of them said, hey, don't worry about it. We know you're trying. They were really good people. And I don't think I came away with more than $40 or $50 by the time it was all done. But, you know, it wasn't like I wanted a lot of money. I was trying to make this thing happen, and I was sorry I couldn't get it done. We could still do something like that. That Numbers USA theory and method is what I call political engineering, not political strategy, political engineering. What's the difference? Well, Roger Stone is a political strategist. Political engineering is a little different. It's using a small amount of energy in a very, very organized and engineered way to get a much larger response, okay? Just like, you know, a steam engine can run a locomotive, right? Steam, something as small as steam under pressure can run a locomotive. We've seen that before. We've seen how electricity works. We've seen how gears work. We've seen how pulleys work. Engineering is the ability to use organized energy in a way that it is precision to move big objects. And that's what I like to do is what I call political engineering. That political strategy, political engineering, we can do this and we can make these things happen. There are ways that we can operate here, get our country back, and we can see the changes we need. Because, friends, if we don't do it, I think you know. I mean, yeah, you got a lot of people angry. They're all informed, but what they have no idea. You know what I mean? What you got basically is a lot of angry and sometimes bitter and sometimes people who finally get to the point where they have to disconnect and they just faint and go away and grumble. And that's what's happening. We can't stop. We've got to get this country back very, very quickly here. If not, we're going to be down in a well of sorrows, friends. I mean, it's just going to be one thing after another. You know what's happened with the vaccine. You know what's happened with healthcare. Now the World Health Organization wants to take over your country, and you're going to have teeth rust running everything. And that is a reality that we will be facing in the next 2 or 3 months. So that's another thing that we've got to stop. Lawsuits by David Martin are being put together right now. You can look him up and look at what he's involved with. He has already started a lawsuit on this. This is another thing that Francis Boyle talked about that has to be stopped immediately. And this is coming through the back door very, very subtly, friends. All they need to do is get 51 or 52 votes in the Senate to pass and sign on this treaty. And it bypasses everything. You have lost your country. This is going to happen in the next 60 days or so if we don't stop it. They're coming back and they're going to take over. Now, we have to get organized and we have to do it legally, lawfully, but we got to be really persistent and we've got to wear them down. I don't know how to do this exactly. I'd be willing to try. I mean, maybe some of you out there have got some thoughts, some ideas, and you know, we'll discuss a few of those things coming up here. Got a break, I think, in a couple of minutes, but we'll take some time, maybe take some calls, see what you think. Hey, this is Steve Starrs right here on Lightspeed Times 2 RBN. Stay with us. We will be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Great music to get us back in. We are traveling. We're moving. We're going ahead. You know, as I said before, before the break, we're talking a little bit about the power of actually cornering a lot of these people in Congress. And I think we should post how they respond, too. This is very, very important to them. It can be a lot more powerful than the lobby out there, especially now. Because remember, we're coming up on an election 2 years from now. It's a good time to tell the Republicans, we're done with you. I'm going to tell them that. Look, I'll support various candidates. I will actually support some very good Republican candidates, but I'm not supporting this party anymore. Why is that? Because of 9/11? Because of the Patriot Act? Because of the scumbaggery? Because of what you did in allowing that election? And those people are still being held there on this indefinite detention idea? For what? You know, I mean, there was a lot of that videotape has been released, and now, you know, there are going to be some serious questions about this. These people need to be compensated as patriots. They have every right to go to that building that, you know, they turned it into a den of thieves. You know, do you remember what happened when somebody cleaned out a temple a long time ago? He said, it's a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. Well, that was a house of law, and they made it a den of thieves, the prostitution, friends. And we had every right to stand there and say something's really wrong with this whole situation. You know, and they tried to make these people, they see how they misused the wording, the insurrection. And Trump was too stupid to know what to do. You know, he should have taken that to the Supreme Court the second time. Remember the first time, the easiest excuse the Supreme Court has used has always been, oh, well, we don't have this, these plaintiffs don't have standing. You mean the state of Texas and the state of Missouri and the state of how many others that joined didn't have standing? What about if the candidate himself also weighs in on that? Trump should have kept coming back and coming back and coming back. He should have never let that slide. But you see, he doesn't know how to handle power. He thinks it's the art of war. You know what I mean? You just give up a lot until the other side gets tired of beating you. I mean, come on. You know, we've got to stand up at this point. We've got to hold on to what we've got. It's not going to be that easy to do, obviously. But there aren't that many stupid people in America, to be real honest with you. There's quite a few. But I think there's enough people in the middle to realize when something is really wrong, if they're properly informed, to realize it needs to be fixed. And this has been going on for a long, long time. Now Dominion, imagine this. Dominion is suing Fox News for $1.6 billion for tarnishing their reputation. I mean, isn't that a little bit, doesn't it strike you as crass and unethical? I mean, that a company that's handling elections needs to stand up and defend themselves in a court case because people question their results. I mean, they should be able to say, well, there's enough federal verification of our work for you to look at without us having to answer any of this. You know, but no, it's all about an imagery to Dominion. Dominion Software, ES&S, they were around in a film, they were mentioned in the film Fraction Magic. Fraction Magic, if you've ever seen that film. That film was put out by Bev Harris many years ago. It shows you how they use computers to steal elections, and it usually happens in the late night hours. Now, going back to Trump, this happened in 2016. If you recall, there was a report that I think even Rush Limbaugh and some of the other conservative talk show hosts had talked about that NSA computers were banging on state returns trying to get in there, and they couldn't. They were locked out. So by the middle of the night, Trump had already been declared winner in enough states to carry the election. So it didn't really matter how many votes came in on the West Coast after that. It was already over. But suddenly, somehow, and when I went to bed, I think it was about 1 o'clock, 1:30 or so in 2016, Trump was ahead by about 900,000 votes in the popular vote. And suddenly, somehow, out of her hat, Hillary Clinton pulled out 3.5 million votes in the middle of the night. Now, we've seen this before, right? This is when these elections are stolen. Late at night, Ken Buck lost his seat for Senate. You know, he was too stupid to know what to do. This is the same thing that happened with Trump, but he didn't press it. He should have been looking at that right then. He should have said, hey, wait a minute. We need to look at what happened with those election returns, because it's very doubtful that 3.5 million, because she ended up claiming she won the election by 2.5 million. So she had 1 million to catch up already, basically. So she would have had to come up with 3.5 million votes in the dark of the night to come up with that number, and claiming that she won the popular vote. Well, she might have come out ahead, you know, I suppose, toward the end. You know, they don't really count votes very good in Silicon Valley. I found that they're old-fashioned there, right? Other places like that, Seattle, Portland. Yeah, right. But anyhow, this should have been looked at a long, long time ago. The election fraud. See, Trump wasn't smart enough to know how to go back and say, wait a minute, we're going to go back and check this very quickly. He set himself up for the second failure. You know, he did it all along. How about when this guy, I think his name starts with an M, Robert, is it Mueller or Mueller or Mueller? I think it's Mueller, you know, although they call him Mueller. Robert Mueller, you know. This guy pretends to be a cop and a special investigator / prosecutor about the Trump affair and supposedly Russian involvement in the elections. Really? And, you know, wouldn't Trump have been able to clear his voice and say, Bob, 9/11, Bob, let me see, what were you going to ask me about anthrax, Bob? You know, I mean, this guy's a criminal, and they let him pretend to be a cop. Trump did that. What a stupid thing to do. I mean, Trump had all the aces going into office and couldn't play them. You know, some people said that's because he was never, he was on their side all along. You know, it almost sounds that way. I'm not convinced of it. I think Trump's too much of an egotist to paint himself up as a buffoon and a loser, which is what happened. But no, I think Trump was just basically inept. He didn't know what to do, didn't know who to handle. How about Jeff Pantywaist Sessions? Remember him? I mean, this guy, he gets in as supposed to be the attorney general. One of the, you know, he should be a bulwark of power and a bulwark of authoritative ability to make changes there in the using the law. And yet he immediately recuses himself. You know, wow, here's a guy with who stands up for America too. You know, what a slime bag he turned out to be. Here's what Trump should have done. I could have advised him. He said, look, Mr. President, Mr. Trump, this is what you need to do. Say, hey, Jeff, great idea. Yeah, that's really good. You stepped aside. You deflected this pretty easily. I have a list of bridges you can go dedicate. There's ladies' luncheons you can speak with. I think the Boy Scouts or whoever it is, you know, YMCA, you can go there and support them. And I'll put a real attorney general in under you as a deputy who will get the job done. Great idea. You run interference. You play your games. You deflect everything and we'll get the job done with somebody else who can do it. You know, I mean, it was pretty easy to figure ways around this. You know, when the Democrats shut down the government because they didn't want Trump, you know, building the law, Trump went around all over the country making his personal appearances when he should have locked himself in to a bunker with his family, and those idiots ran around all over the place as well, got things done and said, look, we're going to do all of our work via videotape, via the internet, via our own video conferencing system that our listeners will listen to. And if the media wants to ask questions, send them via email, thank you, you know, or we'll have a teleconference with you. I mean, Trump didn't have to, he didn't owe any of these people anything. He should have been thinking about what he needed to do. And when the Democrats shut down the government for all that time, the longest period of time, I think it was, 60 days, something like that, the longest period of time the government's been shut down because they didn't want Trump getting the money. At that time, Trump had both, he had the Senate and he had the House, I think it was. He didn't have the House, but he had the Senate. He had enough control at that point to really get things done if he needed to. Well, when the Democrats shut down the government, he spent all that time trying to figure a way to get it done. When he should have just said, look, I'm going to get myself a judicial robe and put it on and hold up my suit on a hanger here next to me. I'm going to read the Constitution to the Ninth Circuit, that is, right? And I'm going to tell them the president has authority over the borders. It's right here in the law of the land. And when I say that wall's going up, it's going up. If you don't fund the money, I'll get it from the military, which he eventually did anyway, right? He should have just gone ahead and done it. Obama violated the Supreme Court on the same deal on the immigration issue. He was allowing all this immigration. The court said no. Then Obama said, well, we're going to appeal that and come back again. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and do what you told us we can't. And he did. And when the appeal came back and they said the second time, no, he kept that whole thing going with the illegal immigration and his policy all that time. Here's a guy who is a president. I mean, Trump can't even do what Obama did illegally. He can't. Trump couldn't do what was legal, what Obama did illegally. You know, I mean, it's hard to believe that, you know. So this is the kind of disgusting stuff the Republicans have done. And I'm going to dig on them. I'm going to dig on them continually. I'm going to keep saying 9/11. I'm going to keep saying all this other kind of stuff. We have a lot of problems with this kind of activity, and we really need to get it fixed. Okay, we got some time. We're going to take some calls. I think I got Dan in Arizona holding. Let's see if we can get, I think it's Dan on there. Dan, are you there?
Don. Hello. Hey. Hello.
Hey.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hear you fine, buddy.
Don, not Dan, Don. But, you're talking about Trump. Trump, you're right. I think you got him pegged right. He's just not smart enough. Trump is a showman. He's a showman, you know. kind of a show business guy. He likes to give, he gives a good speech, and he can, he's good talking to people like a human being, but he doesn't, as far as grasping a lot of complexity. And Sessions, yeah, he Trump appointed him to that job because Sessions was the first big politician to come out for Trump because of immigration. Sessions really did believe in immigration. But yeah, you put him in that job, and to me, anybody that's been in the Senate for many years is beyond repair. And some of the House guys are different, a little bit different. Some of the House guys are okay. I can't think of a senator, very few of them, that are okay. But yeah, Trump, another thing about him, he didn't fire anybody hardly. You know, he had this TV show, "You're Fired." That was his famous words, famous quote from Donald Trump. And he went up in the, I mean, he could have, even if you had a good AG, that wouldn't be enough. You'd have to go through and fire. You could, I think the president can fire.
Oh yeah, he did.
The entire DOJ, if he wants to, can he?
You're right, though, Dan. He actually did fire Sessions, and that's when he put in Deputy Dog Bill Barr, who was another sluggard.
That was even worse.
Yeah,
that was worse.
Yeah,
Barr was. He could fire all the guys in the DOJ, right?
Right, absolutely. It was his cabinet. He can relieve him at any time. You know, back in the Civil War era, they had a. They had an issue with when Andrew Johnson, who I believe was actually a party to the assassination of Lincoln, you can find John Wilkes Booth's calling card that was left in his mailbox on the day of the assassination. John Wilkes Booth was trying to get in contact with Andrew Johnson just hours before he shot Lincoln. And, of course, Johnson said, well, I think they were trying to set me up now. They were friends. Johnson and Booth knew each other from back in the days of Kentucky. Long story short, I'll get back to that. But anyhow, what happened was... Stanton, you know, who I think covered up everything that happened during the impeachment of Johnson, okay, there were people who were wanting to bring out Johnson's connection to all of this. There was even one senator, I think it was a brave man, a former Union General Butler, who even accused Johnson of being party to the assassination of Lincoln. That's when they closed the doors and took the vote. Johnson remained in office by one vote, okay. And but the whole point is simply at that time, Stanton, who had, I think he knew what happened, but here we just come through 4 years of bloody war, and the whole government is in shambles with the vice president as one of the actors of the assassination. Yeah, I think he covered it up. This is my thought. He covered it up. He put it away, but he barricaded himself in the Secretary of, I think he was at that point Secretary of State. Office, or was he an attorney general? I can't remember. And he would not leave. He would not leave his office while Johnson was in off was there. And this and the government passed what they call the Tenure Act, meaning that anybody who's on a government appoint or a government cabinet member, like you know, Stanton was. He was Secretary of War, Secretary of Defense at that time. But they passed a law. I don't want to get too confusing about this, but they passed a law that said if the president appoints somebody, he cannot take them out of office because they've been approved by the Senate. Well, that lasted for a little while. It was called the Tenure Act. And finally, the Supreme Court came back and overruled that and said, no, the president's office is the president's cabinet, okay. The president's cabinet.
What I'm talking about is,
yeah.
The Secretary of State, he can fire the
anybody
General,
in his cabinet.
He can fire Secretary of Defense, but I'm saying he could also go right down the line in the for he can fire a lot of FBI agents if he wants to, right? He could have fired.
They'd be under Attorney General. See, so where you go is to the top, and you can work all your way down. I've told people Trump. We said this on this network in 2016 while Trump was electing. I said. Trump was trying to get the delegates at that time. He said, Trump needs to get rid of Fauci, Anthony Fauci, day one. And people were saying, who? Everybody knows who Fauci is then. Eric, Dave, and I were on this network.
He could have fired him. I mean, Trump could have fired him. Trump refused to fire Harley. He eventually would get around to firing somebody after leaving him in there for a couple years, you know, like that. And, but I mean, he could. I think they could fire all the U.S. attorneys if they want to. Some of the Democrats went in. They said, "We're going to fire all the U.S. attorneys."
Yeah, they did.
Stuff like
they,
that. And then and just put in all of their own party if they want to. Trump had no, what do they call it, balls. He had no balls.
Yeah, he had no knowledge of how to do it. Now, see, there isn't really technically ethical for the president to make changes in the cabinet below his cabinet cabinet appointee. But Alex Azar, who was an attorney from Eli Lilly, became the head of Health and Human Services. Below him was Francis Collins, head of the NIH, and then below him is Anthony Fauci. So all Trump had to say is, Alex, I think we need to get rid of Anthony Fauci. And if Alex Azar said, well, we really can't do that, he said, Alex, I'm going to need your resignation next week, or his. You know, I mean, that's all he had to do. See, he could fire the bosses. As far as U.S. attorneys and things like that, you know, you have to sometimes go through the cabinet methods of the people who were there to get it done. But he could have fired, well, he did fire Sessions. You know, he could have fired Alex Azar. He could have thrown Bill Barr, William Deputy Dog.
You never should have put him in the first place, Bill
yeah.
Barr. He was a CIA guy from he started his career. And I mean, yeah, Trump, you know, said he wanted to drain the swamp, but all he did was
enlarge
in the swamp. And I think maybe he originally thought he might do that, but then very quickly he said he changed his mind. He said, hell with it. I'm just going to try to have fun with this deal. And I still vote for him over most of these other people, but at least he didn't start a war either.
He was better than some. He got us out of the World Health Organization for a while, but it came back. Dan, I got to go. Let's see. We got James in Vancouver. We got a couple more calls to get to you. We're going to probably hold back on that break, I think. Let's just do that, Julie. And let's get to James real quick here. James in Vancouver.
Yeah.
How you doing, bud?
I was going to. Yeah. Did they ever find out who killed Donald Trump's first wife?
You know, I don't know, but it might have been that jab, as far as I know. You know, it sounds to me like she. Yeah, I don't know what happened with that. But, Trump was probably threatened. Yeah.
No, there's a lot of, I think he was run by the Pentagon. And the Pentagon, for example, Fauci is run by the Pentagon. I think you can't get into a level 4 lab without having a military security clearance, you see. So the whole damn thing, all the alphabet agencies, and they're all hooked into the Pentagon, you see. So politicians are being threatened all the time.
Yeah.
That's my comment. I'll let you go and take the other call.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Jamie. Let me address that, because I think you're right there. You're right and you're wrong. I mean, Fauci is underneath NIH in terms of where his office is. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease operates under National Institutes of Health. But you were right about this whole thing was actually a DOD enterprise and exercise, friends. That was the problem. See, this is the reason why it keeps going on. This is a DOD operation. Sure, Fauci was the middleman. He's handling it. And I think James is right. There is a problem there because of the executive order and the way this thing is set up, that this took priority in the emergency, what they call the pandemic emergency. So it would have been very difficult to get rid of Fauci under these circumstances, and that's where the problem is. Let's see if we can get to Frank in New York here. Frank, are you there, buddy? I'd probably cut him off guard, maybe. Frank. Yeah, hello, Frank. Yeah, hey, Frank.
Oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm waiting for Bob Tuskin's reappearance, but Steve, if you check it out, okay, 2 days after Trump won the election in 2016, he met with Obama, a one-on-one meeting at the White House, okay? These things generally, it's just the two of them. These things generally last 10 minutes. This one lasted an hour and a half, okay? When he came out, so a body language reader, I don't know her name right now, but she said he had fear in his eyes. And if you go to Daily Mail and you go back in and say Obama, Trump, one-on-one, you can go in and you can see the pictures. Jeff Rentz actually had a whole video, but I can't run that down. But you can see the pictures of him after his meeting with Obama, and he's meeting with Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, and you can still see he's got fear in his eyes. There's no doubt. And to me, I think he was sincere when he ran, and I think he was, you know, trying to do the right thing, everything, until he got there. And then when they came out of that meeting, like I said, she said he looked like he became fearful for something. And I think that's when they told him. And I think Obama's running the show right now. And I think the CIA controls Obama. You know, Mattson had a great article about how, you know, they created Obama, brought him over here, boom, boom, make him president. It was like Jimmy Carter. You know what I'm saying? So I think Trump was sincere, but he didn't make these mistakes. They were told, he was told what to do. And what they told him, or Obama told him during that hour and a half meeting, I have no idea. But it was either something it was going to compromise him, whether it was a threat or whether they had something on him or a family threat or whatever. I don't know what it was, but, you know, he came out, you know, day later, oh, Hillary's not a bad person. The Clintons are maybe 2 days later. You know, we're not going to bother them. You know, this and that, this and that. Then he's got judges in, I think, Baltimore and San Francisco telling him he can't put a wall up. I mean, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution says, hey, that's his obligation. Him and the legislature, they're supposed to protect states from invasion. Doesn't say armed invasion, just invasions in the provide a Republican form of government. You know, I mean, when you start looking at the broken promises, okay, I mean, he didn't build the wall. You know, he down his photo taken when he did for part of it, but there's still like a 1,500 gap there. He was going to jail Hillary. Oh, and we all know what she's got. She's got more bodies and what she did to the people in Haiti and everything. And Bill, you know, Bill's one of Jeffrey's boys, you know, Epstein, and he still flies around. He can do whatever he wants. You know, we got two sets of laws for these people. You know, Trump said we get out of the Middle East. He didn't do that. He said we'll get along with Russia. I don't know if you remember, but he had he got together with Putin, and they came out, and he said he thought Putin was a good guy and this and that, and they can try to work together. And then the next day, his handlers had him out in public, and he was reading the script, and he said, well, I said with Russia yesterday, I said, why would they do that? He said, I should have said, why wouldn't they do that? You know what I mean? And then he was going to overturn Obamacare. And I hear people say, yeah, but it was McCain. McCain stopped him because they hated each other. Well, McCain put the thumb down in September. You know, he had two more months to bring that back. And John Kyle was appointed the senator then. And they would have gotten it passed. Okay? You know, he was going to start a vaccine commission. And then Bill Gates comes in, and that goes. And he was going to start a voter integrity commission. You know, I'm sure he wish he had. You know, I mean, obviously he got shafted. You know, I voted for him last time. I was a big supporter the first time. Well, I saw the broken promises, but still, who could vote for Biden? The guy's hiding down the cellar, doesn't know where he is. He's an embarrassment to the world, to us, in front of the world, you know. And we got Fetterman down in Pennsylvania. He actually wins an election. I mean, they're making a joke of it. You know, but Trump was going to work with the infrastructure. He didn't do that. He was going to bring back Glass-Steagall. He didn't do that. He was going to fund sanctuary cities. He faltered on that. I mean, you know, he teased about Dr. Fauci, oh, fire Fauci, this and that, and, you know, and he played people along. He did accommodate Israel quite a bit. I don't know if he gave Jonathan Pollard a final pardon or whatever it was, or allowed him to go back to Israel or something. You know, and then he, you know, he loves Bibi, and they say, oh, yeah, you got the Golden Heights, call it the, you know, Trump Heights or whatever. You know, I mean, people got to look at what he's done. You know, he talks a good talk, you know, and you know, he came up to Albany here. And, you know, some people may have heard me say this before because I've told this to a couple of hosts. You know, he came up here and they got the Pepsi Arena, which holds, I think it's like 12,000 people or so. He filled the place up and they had to turn people away, thousands of people. Okay, Hillary came up here. They put her in a little town near Albany called Cohoes. They put her in the high school over there. They had to let the kids out of school to go over and fill the gym up. And I'm blabbering on here, brother.
No, that's good. It's good stuff. We're running out of time. I appreciate it. Yeah, very good list there of all things that Trump didn't do. And the reason why was because he didn't realize the kind of stuff he was getting into. And he should have taken it more seriously. He should have locked himself in and got it done. And just lowered the boom. And he didn't do it. It's a tough job. People get killed doing that job, you know. All right. Hey, Mike Rivero. Hey, right on, man.
Have a great one, Steve. Thanks.
You too, buddy. Mike Rivero coming up. Stay here on RBN. Help us out, friends. We're getting the word out to you. Glad to be with you. I'll see you again. Stay tuned to RBN. Thanks.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.